Let's see if this is going to work, because it's the news, according to me. Yeah, I've had quite a day. This is Thursday, almost 1 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, 12:54 and 38 seconds, to be exact. Sweet tea is on the menu, by the way. I am still in Atlanta, Georgia. My flight doesn't leave out of here until about 5 o'clock. And I'm going to grab some lunch at some point, because I'm feeling a little famished, just a little bit. Been some interesting stuff on the in the old news network out there lately. I've been paying attention to, and it's a little concerning. And there's something does not add up, because I keep hearing the same statement. This little disclaimer within, you know, I'm one who's always looking for the disclaimer. Disclaimer. Because there's always a little something in the way people say something. And then when you start hearing it coming from more than one person, like the newscasters, when they start using the same buzzwords all at once, the walls are closing in. It's time to start thinking, you know, maybe they've had a conversation about this. Maybe somebody did some, they must have, and I don't know that this, I don't know how to find this, but I am pretty sure they have some kind of like polling place. Like that people test words out. What are the key words we need to put into our copy when we make this broadcast? My key words are usually fart and poop. Those two words are, I try to pull those into my broadcast as much as possible, because it makes fifth grade boys laugh when I use those words. I must say, even some boys that are like in their 50s and 60s will laugh at words like that. So, I use substitute words. I don't actually use the real word. I use a word like Nadler or something like that. But there's a key word that I've been noticing this inserted into a lot of the statements that a lot of politicians have made lately, and most of them I would consider the swampy Republican establishment creatures. People like Governor Kemp, Mitch McConnell, and. What's that lady's name? Liz Cheney. Yeah. Now, Liz Cheney has not said this. I must be clear about that, but I'm just, you know, referencing her as a swampy person, to put it nicely, swampy. Here's what it has just been raised that apparently Governor Kemp from Georgia. Of course, they just passed some kind of sweeping in the House, and it's expected to pass the Senate, the state Senate in Georgia. They just passed this election reform thing. Now, don't be confused, because there's a lot of different election reform bills going around right now. Several states are working on election reforms. Why would they do that after the most perfect election ever in the world history? The most unquestionable election. You can't be questioned. Joe Biden got 81 million votes, and there's no question about it.
They may have just passed a crazy voter reform bill as well, or they're working on one. Everything they do there is crazy when you have a crazy person running the show. It kind of comes with the territory. Let's pass the For the People Act. Oh, not for the people of this country. It's for everybody else outside of this country. It's for the people. We should probably just call it the Stick It to the People Act. We happen to leave that one little phrase out of there. Stick it to the people. It's the People Act. It's Stick It to the People. That's the People Act. They say it really quick. No.
There's a phrase that keeps coming out, and Mitch McConnell has said it, Kemp has said it, and it's been said by someone else, and I can't remember who. It may have been Mitt Romney. Actually, I think he did say this. I'm not positive. And the statement goes something like this. Will you support President Trump? When the question is asked, will you support President Trump if he's the nominee in 2024? And the response is always very similar between these people. And this is the response. I will support the Republican nominee no matter who it is, even if it's Donald Trump. If Donald Trump is the nominee, I will support him. Now, they know it's political suicide to say anything less than that right now. Why would it be? The question you have to ask yourself is, why would it be political suicide for them to answer the question any other way, knowing that, you know, there's 81 million people out there who don't like him, supposedly? Most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. So they say this. Now, the thing that troubles me about them saying this, and this is where I probably, this is where my tinfoil hat comes on. Because I know these swampy creatures. I know how they act. I know the deals they make behind the scenes. All you have to do is put yourself in their slimy shoes for a moment and think, what would I do if I were Mitch McConnell and I was trying to protect my position, my power? It's not about sharing power with Schumer. It's about groveling for some kind of control and making myself look dignified. Act like I have some kind of something to say, like I'm somehow important, yet like I matter in the Senate. So he has to do that. And there's give and take, and it's mostly give, no take. You give, they do you wrong, and you still give anyway because you're not in a position to do anything. You have no leverage. And I'm hearing this, I heard this from Kemp yesterday, and it's starting to echo and sound the same. Now, the reason I'm questioning this or have questions about this is because I have a feeling that these people have been talking to each other. Let's just say that they've been talking to each other. And they are in cahoots, you might say. Or they've been paying very close attention to each other's talks, speeches. They're following someone's lead on this. One, like I said, they know that to say anything otherwise would be political suicide. They'd be in bad shape. Yeah, big trouble if they did anything else. So they can't say that they would not support Trump. However, my concern is there's something up their sleeve. They may know that there is going to be charges come against Trump, that he's going to somehow be disqualified, whether it's the 14th Amendment or whatever it is that they try to go after him on, that somehow he will be disqualified from running again in 2024. Why else would they be so adamant and happy to admit that they want to support the guy if there was if something else was going on there. Let me back up here a minute so I can make myself very clear. Why would they be so quick to go along with supporting him if they don't like him? I have a feeling these people know something. And I have the feeling that they know that that it's very unlikely that he will be the nominee for whatever reason. And of course, when it happens, they'll be very quiet about it. They won't say anything. They won't stand up for the guy if he gets they have served him with papers, served him with some kind of charges down in Mar-a-Lago for the whole, I think it was for the January 6th incident. So it'll be interesting to see some kind of a subpoena, I think, or what some charges or whatever they filed against him. So that has already started. And it'll be interesting to see what kind of kangaroo court we end up with that now. Because you know there will be one. I mean, these are the same judges that wouldn't listen to any voting cases. So it'll be very interesting to see what happens in the next year with all these issues. We'll just have to see, I guess, what happens. But it's just very troubling to me. And what I'm seeing is that there are, and I just received word that House Democrats have passed H.R. 1 election reform bill in a very tight vote. This isn't going to go through the Senate. And if it does, we are screwed. It is an incredibly sickening bill. It's a stupid bill. You don't have to read very far into this. Just go onto YouTube and type in anything from, you know, that's about this bill, and you'll find very quickly that it's just a mess. It is an absolute disaster. 16 and 17-year-old kids voting. No voter ID allowed anywhere. It bans voter ID in any state. No verification. Mail-in ballot, balloting must be required. All kinds of just absolutely nutty, crazy things. So take a look at it. See what you think. Read it. It's probably 300,000 pages long. That's what they do. They like to take a bill that's like, and I'm sure along with this stupid bill probably has something in there for feeding dinosaurs on the moon, I'm sure. Because it's just, think about it though. The dinosaurs have not had anything to eat on the moon for a long time. They need to eat. And by golly, we need to spend $127 trillion to feed those dinosaurs, or they're going to go extinct on the moon. They're on the dark side. You can't see them from this side, of course. Don't be silly. So we have this just absolutely insane, crazy stuff going on. And I don't know. I don't know what else to tell you about that, other than it's just disgusting. There's a lot of things going on, but there's that bill, and then there's the Georgia bill, which I guess goes just it flies in the face of everything that they're doing in the state or the House bill, the federal House bill, H.R. 1, because it's pretty much just the opposite. So why, the question always is why are they doing that? Why are they having such a problem with the why do we have to have this sweeping reform now all of a sudden? No one was held accountable for breaking the law in these state offices, and that's also very frustrating. The state legislatures never held the governors and the secretaries of state in these states that just. They changed the voting laws, changed the voting rules unilaterally without legislation being passed. That's a major problem. They're not keeping voter records, and they're not letting anybody see the vote. What's the use of keeping records if you're not going to allow the public to see them or have some kind of a system in place to let people see the records? Yet they have to be held for 22 months, not held under lock and key. They have to be held in case there is a problem. They're destroying them. They literally, all these adjudicated ballots were in many states, in many counties, I should say, were shredded. So they took the adjudicated ballots, which now how this works in most cases is they take the original ballot, they run it through the scanner, and they claim that it had a problem. There was an anomaly. So it has to go to adjudication to find out what the voter's intent was. Because they claim that either there was two people, you know, checkmarked, or there was more than whatever it was. So it goes to adjudication. Normally there's a very small number. It's usually under 1%, less than 1%, way less than 1% of ballots are adjudicated. Well, that's not what was happening here. They were adjudicating tens of thousands of ballots. Tens of thousands. In one state alone, it was over 180,000 ballots in one state. And I think in another one, it was over 1 million. Now, there's one in particular individual who's a computer geek guy. He said there's no way that you can adjudicate that many ballots properly, because they have to be looked at for a certain amount of time. They can be just run through, and if you're just running them through, clicking on certain keystrokes with shortcuts, you can select all of them to fit the same, basically copy all the same results. So as the thing pops up, you pop on the screen, you hit Shift Alt Collect Delete 1, and it'll fill in the blanks for you. And they believe that's what was going. It had to have been what was going on, because you can just, you know, you could probably do about 100 an hour, literally, just by click 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 click, like every second you could. Well, I guess it'd be 60 an hour if you're doing one a second. And if you got enough computers doing adjudication, then you can do that. So somebody's sitting there doing all this. Now the problem is, you come in with your paper ballot, you fill it out, you run it through the machine, it gets adjudicated. An electronic scan of that ballot goes to the adjudicator. The actual ballot does not go to the adjudicator. The ballot goes into a box, and the adjudicator then decides what your intent was. The intent then is they can print that ballot out now as a ballot. That was your ballot. There you go. If we do a recount, guess which one we count? We count that one. And guess what's happened? Guess what happens to your ballot? It goes away. It's supposed to be kept. The record of all adjudicated ballots are supposed to be kept for 22 months. It's federal law. They were destroying them. That's what was going on with the shredded ballots. This is just my theory. It's just my conjecture. It's all based on my hypothesis. That's a big word. I thought I'd use it today. I haven't used it all day, so I thought I'd use it. Hypothesis. It's a word that is basically, it's hypothesizing. Theoretically, it's a theory. Kind of goes along with the word theory. Theorizing. So this stuff is going on, and that's why they want to have this election reform stuff to make old people more accountable. And it's not going to happen. They brazenly did it. Now the same state that had all these issues also had issues, and you know, the Senate runoff deal, they also lost that because they did the same thing. They got away with it once, they're going to get away with it again. They didn't care. The end justifies the means. They don't care. You just do what you have to do, get it done, we're done. That's the way it works. So that's what happens at that point. So there you have that. That's my election rant for the day. Very interesting stuff going on there. I think I mentioned the Steve Bannon issue. Steve Bannon got a full pardon from the president, and as usual, much like in the case of Michael Flynn, the DOJ dropped it. The charges against Flynn, realizing that they were in error. But the judge continued, he picked up the case on his own. It's a loophole that in the law that has never, it gets used maybe once every 200 years. And this guy decides, I'm going to pick up the case as a judge. I'm going to pick up the case. I'm just going to continue the case, even though the DOJ has dropped the charges. Ridiculous. It's ridiculous. But that's kind of what this is about. So they're going after Steve Bannon now, saying that, well, it doesn't matter whether Trump pardoned him or not. We can still go after him. We can still push forward with the charges. Unless he has committed a crime since then, you cannot charge him with anything. He's been pardoned for that. They're saying the pardon doesn't apply. Whatever. It's absolute insanity. It's absolute hatred, rage. You know, whatever it is, it's just ridiculous. So, we'll see what happens with all that. Yeah. So, what else is in the news? The only other thing really that's in the news worthy of talking about. I did have something here. What did I just do with my little? Had a little thing here that I was going to talk about. I need to move that over. I've got this small. I'm working off this laptop at the moment. I apologize. It's a very small. I'm in a hotel room, doing my show here. So that's why things are a little bit discombobulated here. Biden claims that Neanderthal, the people who are not wearing masks like Texas, they're Neanderthals. However, you know, the Biden administration. Now, I just saw this picture recently of a whole bunch of people at the border wearing Biden T-shirts, bowing down at the border, protesting that they want to come in. They're begging Biden to let them in. That's what we needed, some more protesters here. Let's just bring them on. You're a protester, well, come on in. We need more of you. First of all, where'd they get the Biden T-shirts? Where'd they get those? Did they buy them down in Guatemala? Did they pick them up in a store on the way up through Mexico? Somebody provided those to him. When you see a photo op like that, it's all staged. Of course, there's some caution tape across in front of the camera, because they couldn't just move the camera up around the. They had to have the caution tape in the frame. That's part of the spiel. It's part of the shtick. This picture I saw had this caution tape running across the camera in front of the camera. I mean, you could have taken four steps forward, and gotten the caution tape out of the way, just taking a picture of the people. But no, you had to have that caution tape there. Because the caution tape is holding them back. That's all there is at the border, holding them back. Yeah. And there's some clashes now breaking out. There's some with the Border Patrol. But that's not an insurrection at all. No, that's not a problem. They just want freedom so bad that they're willing to, you know, beat up our Border Patrol. That's okay. That's not a threat to our democracy to have illegal people entering. Now, where I'm going with this is they just released a whole bunch of people. I think it was 300 people they released. Over 100 have tested positive that they had to let go. They didn't have any way to detain them. They can't force them to stay. And the buses in the area cannot stop them from traveling. You buy a bus ticket and go wherever you want once you're in the country. They're not going to come back for their their court case. They're here. They're too busy heading to the next voting booth. Yeah. Oh, here it is. Here's the headline. I just happen to see it here. 108 illegals tested positive for COVID, and Biden sent them into the U.S. But, you know, just wear a mask. Wear a mask. We're going to save lives. Save 50,000 lives if we would just all wear masks. 50,000. Not 49,000 and not 51,000. 50,000. We've scientifically worked out the numbers to 50,000 people. We're going to save lives. Exactly. Whose lives are we saving here? Are they people, since they know exactly how many we're going to save, do they know what age groups those people are being saved? Are we saving three people that will probably die from COVID who are under the age of five? Because that's about all there is. I don't know how many under the age of five have died from COVID, but that's been very, very small amount. Not an insignificant person, but an insignificant number. I mean, when you look at the death rates, the death toll for other reasons, the things that really like kill a lot of kids under five, this is nothing. And we have a massive, massive effort, a country shut down because of it. But kids get killed crossing the street more than they get killed by COVID. Drunk drivers kill way more people. We don't seem to have a big deal about that. Oh, we talk about it. But we don't shut down the country because of it. At this point, it seems that Biden has no concern about what's going on at the border. In fact, I think if he had it his way, if he could get away with it, he would just say, oh, just welcome them all in. Just let everybody in. Oh, come on in. Come on in. Here's your voting ballot. Just vote for me. Biden's not exactly large and in charge. He's not the guy who gets up in the morning and tells everybody this is what the agenda is and this is what we're going to do. He gets up and he just says, okay, where am I supposed to go now? Okay, am I supposed to put my pants on first or my underwear? Do I put my underwear on over my pants? How do I do this? Oh, I have two different color socks. I'm not sure how that works. But I have another pair just like it. People are finally starting to... You know, I've been saying this since day one. I wonder how long it will be before Biden steps into the press conference room and takes over the press conference. Of course, they say, oh, Trump hardly ever did that. Trump was talking to the media all the time, all the time. And he did step into the press conference room once in a while. But it got completely ridiculous with Jim Acosta being so totally disrespectful. People like that. And so he, you know, fine, if you guys don't want to treat me respectful, you don't have any respect for the people asking questions when I'm ready to move on to the next person, and you continue to take the microphone, you know, or hold the microphone from somebody who's supposed to be moving to the next person, that's disrespectful. And he was doing that. So yeah. But Biden's not going to be standing in the press conference room and taking questions unless he has all the questions in advance and he has some kind of notes there that he can read from with a teleprompter. And he's struggling with that now. He's absolutely struggling with even just reading a teleprompter. So there will not be there's not going to be a State of the Union address. And he's not going to be taking questions from anybody. If you've watched him in any of his speeches lately, he gets done reading his speech and he starts walking off. People will ask questions and he'll kind of throw an answer and then walk away as they're still asking him questions. What kind of a regime does this? Okay, so let's think about this for a minute. If a country leader does not answer questions, makes speeches that are simply read from a teleprompter, and then, you know, doesn't answer questions that are thrown at him at any point in time, doesn't step into the press conference room, denies access to the press down at the border, the little town that they put up to get to put, you know, the tent city that they put up down there. They won't allow reporters in. And then, on top of all that, they surround themselves with a barbed wire fence, and they move the military in to protect themselves. What does this look like? Tell me what this looks like. It just looks like the most closed coup. If there ever was a coup that was, and of course the media, they've got the power of the media on their side. That's the worst part of this whole thing. You can't really, you don't see the truth being portrayed. And now what's funny is that some of the news media now are starting to get a little bit perturbed with everything that's going on. And they're starting to, now I think that what will happen is at some point the media will start to turn on them. Just like Cuomo is running into this issue now in the governor of New York. He's running into this issue and he's pretty much dug in. He said, the people elected me, therefore I will stay in office. I'm not going to resign. I don't work for politicians. I work for the people. If you had an election today, he would not. They would vote him out. He's come out and supposedly kind of apologized about some of this stuff. Didn't know it was inappropriate. Didn't know it was taken. Didn't mean for it to be taken wrong. And the biggest thing. Here's the thing about this scandal. Believe it or not, the misconduct that he's inappropriateness he's done with other women is not as big of a scandal as the nursing home issue, the cover up, and all the stuff that happened there. But the three accusers. I've watched this. Now, if you see what's happened here, that was the big scandal, right? That was the big thing that was coming out. People's lives, people died because of it. About 50% of the deaths in nursing homes, they say, could have been prevented if he would have had better policies. 50%. Talk about 50,000 lives. And all of a sudden, the scandal comes up. It's inappropriate behavior with a woman type thing. So, all of a sudden, the nursing home scandal went away. The news media had something they could fill in the blank with. Didn't have to worry about it anymore. Crazy. It's craziness. It's crazy. It's just crazy. But that's how it works. That's how they do it. This is how they do it. And so now we have an issue of this guy who's in office wants to play the Clinton thing. Oh yeah, I apologize. Didn't know it was inappropriate. Only this guy's. I didn't know it was inappropriate. I'm sorry. I'm very embarrassed. Oh. Yeah, too bad, buddy. He has made some apologies about the not using the ship that was in, because that's been an issue too as well. But the medical hospital that was there. Basically only had like 50 patients in it at one point. That's all they ever used it for, and it was designed to hold like 1,500. So, yeah, there's those issues are piling up now for Cuomo. And, of course, he has some people on the left that don't like him. The governor of New York City doesn't like him, or the mayor of New York City. And he's... So these two guys are at each other now, which is kind of interesting. That's my bumper music, so the show is coming to a close.
But there will be more. This will be this afternoon's show. Tomorrow morning's show will be actually on time, probably. So I just want to say thanks for everybody that's listening. And God bless. Pray for the nation. Pray for each other. Keep moving forward, not backwards. Just have a great day. Talk to you later.